My name is Anouk Millet, and I'm on the phone with Ihab Lotayev, who is a representative and member of the Canadian Boat for Gaza initiative of the Freedom Flotilla Coalition, and also is a spokesperson for the Freedom Flotilla 3 that recently came back to Canada. Hello. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
It's good to hear that you're safe and sound in Canada.
Thank you very much.
To start, I would like you to tell us a bit more about the Freedom Flotilla Coalition and the Canadian Boat for Gaza initiative.
The Freedom Flotilla Coalition is a coalition of many international initiatives that are from different countries, many countries in Europe, Greece, Spain, Italy, Norway, Sweden, France, not to miss any country, also the United States and Canada, and smaller initiatives from Australia and New Zealand that came together many years ago. It started in 2010 to challenge and hopefully end the illegal and inhuman blockade of Gaza that Israel has been imposing for many years. Most of the initiatives in the Freedom Flotilla Coalition are grassroots movements. They're all non-governmental, totally civilian NGOs that are not funded by any government or supported directly by any government.
Could you tell us a bit more about Freedom Flotilla 3?
Well, Freedom Flotilla 3, the plan for Freedom Flotilla 3 was to have a slightly different strategy than what we had before in the first and second Freedom Flotillas.
Okay.
So we had planned to have three boats that are going to go all the way and challenge the blockade of Gaza, and two accompanying boats that are going to be providing support and coverage. And of course, in these kind of initiatives, things don't go exactly as planned. So we had trouble with a couple of the original boats. One of them was technical, and the other was administrative. So we could not do exactly what we planned to do at the end, but we increased the number of supporting boats to three. So there was the Marianne, which is the boat that started from Sweden and headed all the way to Gaza, and three supporting boats have accompanied it from Greece onwards and did not plan to go into full confrontation with the Israeli Navy, so they stayed some 50 nautical miles behind the Marianne.
Could you tell us a bit more about the people on the boat? Because you are an engineer and a writer in Montreal, and I would like to have a bit of a vision or an understanding of who are the people who are protesting against and are actual sailors and members of the Flotillas.
Well, really, the people on the flotilla, like on the previous flotillas, span quite a wide range of backgrounds. For example, on this flotilla and on the Marianne, on the flagship, there was the ex-president of Tunisia, Mr. Monsef Marzouki. There was a member of Israeli Knesset, an Arab member of Israeli Knesset, Bassel Gattas. There was a member of European Parliament from Spain. There was artists and musicians from Europe. My role and others as well in this initiative, we were organizers, so there was also, of course, representation of the organizers on each of the boats. There was also of course a large crew of sailors, mostly volunteers, who also are activists in one way or the other, representing different initiatives and different countries. It is really a broad and very diverse presence on this flotilla, on these boats, as well as previous initiatives as well. Most people on the flotilla really do that out of strong conviction that they cannot let the situation in Gaza be what it is without voicing and acting against what Israel does, sacrificing their own time, their own money, their own energy, and participating in that at usually at a lot of cost to their normal career and family lives. And that is no different. My case is no different than many of the others that were on those boats.
Can you tell us what happened on June 29th when you approached the Gaza coast?
As I mentioned earlier, we didn't really, even the flagship, the one ahead, which is the Marianne of Gothenburg, it did not really approach the Gaza coast. It was quite far in international waters, about 100 miles away, when the Israeli Navy attacked it and asked the boat to surrender, and that they will tow the boat to Ashdod, and asked everybody on board not to resist. Let me first clarify that. Our initiatives have always been nonviolent. We do not believe that Israel has the right to board our boats. It does not have jurisdiction, as far as we believe, in international waters, nor in the waters of Gaza, which we are heading to. So we do refuse to willfully hand our boats to the Israelis, but at the same time, we do not initiate nor participate in violence. When the Marianne was about 100 miles away from the shores of Gaza, it was attacked by the Israeli Navy. And the boat I was on, the Rachel, was quite a number of miles behind, so it did not witness directly the confrontation between the Israelis and the Marianne. People on the Marianne refused to allow the Israelis on the boat. And when I say refused, I mean refused verbally to allow the Israelis on the boat. And when the Israelis boarded the boat, they still tasered a couple of the sailors and the captain. And that is what they claim, or what they call, they boarded the boat without an incident. Yet they did cause a lot of bodily harm to the people on the boat, and they took control of the Marianne, and they towed it to the port, the Israeli port of Ashdod, and detained the people on the boat, who, as I mentioned earlier, were quite a diverse group of people, between ex-president, member of Knesset, members of European Parliament, and different activists and sailors.
It has been called an act of state piracy from the Israeli government, and it's definitely not the first time. How do you explain that Israel is able to carry out such illegal actions?
To be honest, the situation here goes beyond Israel. Israel acts with impunity because it is never called to explain or called to be accountable for its actions by the international community. And that is why we launch these international flotillas once and again, to call upon our governments, upon the governments of the Western world, and Canada actually is in the forefront of those, the governments that support Israel and defend its actions, no matter how illegal and how inhuman and how criminal they are. We call our governments to take a position, to take a principled position against what Israel does. Israel does what it does because it is not it's not being held accountable by the international community. And because the governments are silent, because many of the world powers are silent, it falls upon the shoulders of civil society activists as ourselves to challenge this Israeli criminal actions. And thus, with the limited resources we have, we continue and will continue to challenge this blockade till the blockade ends, and not only till the blockade ends on Gaza, but till all the rights of the Palestinian people are restored fully and practically to all the Palestinian people, whether in Gaza, in the West Bank, whether in the 1948 territories, or in the diaspora.
What's next plan for the Freedom Flotilla coalition?
There will always be new challenges as long as the blockade continues, as long as this blockade is in place. We will continue to challenge it. As for precise plans, it is too early to announce right now any precise plans because we are still wrapping up this this mission. As you know, the last of the detainees are being deported as we speak from Israel. So up to a few hours ago, some of us were still held by Israel. At this point, they are being deported and returned to their countries. And as soon as we close this chapter, we will not hesitate to start working on the next chapter, the next challenge of the blockade of Gaza. As I mentioned earlier, there is no end to our work as long as this unjust and inhuman blockade continues.
How do you understand your action? Do you think it was a success?
This is always a question that deserves a clear and an explanatory answer, because some people look at what we do that it is not a success if we don't reach the shores of Gaza. Well, actually, I think I most of the people that participate and organize our work agree with me on that the success here, the real full success, will be when the blockade ends. But every action that we do is a success in its way, because it brings attention to what Israel is doing, and it increases the pressure on Israel to stop this criminal and inhuman blockade of Gaza. So every action we do, every mission we do, is a success as long as the world starts talking about what Israel is doing and putting pressure on what Israel is doing. And on the other hand, the only alternative to that would be to do nothing. And that in itself is the real failure. So what we are doing is successful because it is the only option that that the world leaves us to have to challenge the Israeli blockade. If we would not, then Israel would just continue its barbaric actions against the Palestinian people. And of course, the ultimate success would be the end of the blockade, and the total success would be the restoration of full Palestinian rights. And we strongly believe that sooner or later, all that will happen.
Thank you very much for speaking with me today.
Thank you for having me, and all the best.